A knife flickers from my wrist, and I stab it at his eyes as I pass. I miss and scrape his helmet's visor. Putting a little distance between us, I reach for a knife and try a familiar trick. He bats the flying blade away contemptuously with his shield, but when he lowers it to look at me, I'm in the air, landing on his shield with all my weight. The suddenness of it pulls the shield down just a hair. I slam mud into his helmet with my offhand. He's blind. One hand holds the axe, one holds the shield. Neither can wipe his visor clean. It'd be a simple matter if he could just do that. But he can't. I hit him a dozen times on his wrist till he drops his axe. Then I take the monstrous thing and hit him on the helmet with it. The armor still doesn't break. He almost knocks me unconscious with his shield. I swing the heavy axe again, and finally Pax crumples. I fall to a knee, panting. Then I howl. They all howl. Howls fill the lands of Minerva. Howls from my far-distant army. Howls from my 10 high-draft killers who helped make this dueling circle. Howls from the killing field. Mustang hears the dread sound behind her, and she wheels her horse. Her face is one of terror. Howls from the laughing proctors except Minerva, Apollo, and Jupiter. Howls from the bellies of the dead horses in the middle of the killing field, the ones near her open gate. "They're in the mud!" Mustang shouts. She's almost right. But she thinks like a gold. Someone screams as they see Sevro and his howlers cutting their way out of the stitched-up bellies of the dead and bloated horses that litter the mud up to the gate. Like demons being born, they slither from swollen guts and parted stomachs. A half-score of House Diana's best soldiers exit with them. Tactus and his spiked hair burst from the belly of a pale mare. He runs with Weed and Thistle and Clown, all within 50 meters of the ponderously slow gates. The Minervan guards all stand upon the ramparts, watching the duel. They cannot repel the sudden blitz of demon soldiers by closing their slow gates. They hardly manage to knock and draw their bows before Sevro, the Howlers, and our allies slip through the closing gate. On the other side of the city, the House Diana's soldiers will be slowly scaling the walls with the ropes they use to climb their silly trees. Yes, the whistle sounds now from the other side. A guard there has seen them. No one will come to help him. My army moves forward. Even the fake howlers we borrowed from Diana and dressed up to look like Sevro and his band. We destroy House Minerva in minutes. High above, the proctors still howl and laugh. I think they are drunk. It is over before Mustang can do anything except gallop away across the muddy field through the still smouldering grass. A dozen horses set off in pursuit, Vixus and Cassandra amongst them. She'll be caught before nightfall. And I've seen what Vixus does to prisoners and their ears. So I mount Quietus and set off in pursuit. Mustang abandons her horse at the edge of a small wood to the south. We dismount and leave 3 men to guard the horses in case she doubles back. Cassandra plunges into the woods. Vixus follows me, purposefully stalking as though I might know where Mustang is hiding. I do not like this. I do not like being in the woods with Vixus and Cassandra. All it would take is a blade in the spine. Either would do it. Unlike Pollux, they still hate me, and my howlers and Cassius are far away. Yet, no knife comes. I find Mustang by mistake. 2 golden eyes peer out from a pit of mud. They meet mine. Vixus is with me. He swears something about how excited he is to break the gory damn mare, see what she looks like with a bridle on. Standing there, leering into the brush, he looks bent and twisted and evil, like a withered tree after a fire. He has less body fat than anyone I've ever seen, so each of his veins and tendons ripple beneath his tight skin. His tongue flits over his perfect teeth. I know he's goading me. So I lead him away from the mud pit. Io didn't deserve to die a slave to the society. And despite her colour, Mustang doesn't deserve any sort of bridal. Chapter 32. Antonia. I passed this test. The interminable war with House Minerva is done. And I've also trapped House Diana. House Diana had three choices before the battle. They could have betrayed me to Minerva and taken my house as slaves, but I had Cassius send pickets to intercept any rider. They could have accepted my proposal, or they could have gone to our castle and tried to take it. I couldn't care less if they chose that option. It was a trap. We left no water inside and could have besieged them easily. Now they have the Minervan fortress, and we are outside in the plains. They could honour their agreement. We would get the standard, they would get the city and all its inhabitants. But I know they'll become greedy. And they do. The gates close, and they think they've a strategic bastion. Good. That's why I have Severo inside with them. Smoke plumes soon rise. He destroys the food stores as they enslave the Minervans and guard the walls from my army. Then he fills the wells with feces and hides with his howlers in the cellars. House Diana is not used to this sort of warfare. They've never really left their woods behind. It is hardly any effort to wait them out. 3 days in, and they are apparently still surprised we do not leave. Instead, we camp north and south of the city with our horses and light bonfires all around so they cannot slip away in the night. They are thirsty. Their leader, Tamara, does not receive me. She is too embarrassed at being caught in her betrayal. Eventually, on the fourth day, Tamara offers me 10 Minervan slaves and all our enslaved soldiers if I allow her passage home. I send Leah to tell her to go slag herself. Leah giggles like a child when she returns. She flips her hair, grabs my arm, and leans in close to mock Tamara's desperateness.
"Have decency," she cries. "Are you not a man of your word?"
When they try to break out the fifth night, we capture every last one of them. Except Tamara. She fell from her horse and was trampled to death in the mud.
Her saddle was cut through underneath.
Severo shows me the cleanly severed strip of leather.
Tactus?
Probably.
His mother's a senator, father's a praetor.
Severo spits.
Met him when we were children. Beat a girl half to death when she wouldn't kiss him on the cheek. Mad bastard.
Let it slide, I say. We can't prove anything. Tactus is our slave, as is all of Diana and Minerva. Even Pax. I sit with Cassius and Roke atop our horses as we watch our new slaves labour in stacking wood and hay throughout the Minervan fortress. They set a massive blaze, and we three toast each other in victory.
"This will be your last bar of merit," Cassius tells me. "That makes you Primus, brother."
He pats my shoulder, and I see only a twinge of jealousy in his eyes.
"Couldn't be a better pick."
"Lord on high, I never thought I would see this side of our handsome friend," Roke says.
"Humility. Cassius, is that truly you?"
Cassius shrugs.
"This game is but a year of our lives, maybe less. After that, we have our apprenticeships or academies. After that, we have our lives. I'm only glad that we three were in the same house. Just rewards will be there eventually, for all of us."
I squeeze his shoulder. "Agreed." He's still looking down, unable to meet our eyes till he finds his voice again.
I may have lost a brother here. That pain won't fade. But I feel like I've gained two more. He looks up fiercely. And I mean that, lads. I gory well mean that. We'll have to do ourselves proud here. Beat some more houses. Win the whole damn thing. But my father will need officers for the ships in his armada. If you are interested, that is. The Haspelona always needs praetors to make us stronger. He says that last part timidly, as though we'd have something better to do. I grip his shoulder once more, and nod, even as Rogue says something smart-ass about being a politician, because he'd rather send people to their deaths than go to his own. The sons of Ares would drool if I became a praetor to House Bologna.
And don't worry, Rogue. I'll mention your poetry to father, Cassius laughs. He's always wanted a warrior bard.
Of course, Rogue embellishes.
Be sure to let dear Imperator Bologna know that I'm a master with metaphor and a rogue with assonance.
Rogue a rogue. Oh, God. I laugh as Severo rides up with Quinn, and a girl on a type of horse I have not seen before. The girl wears a bag over her head. Quinn announces her as an emissary from House Pluto. Her name is Lilith, and they found her waiting near the edge of the woods. She wishes to speak with Cassius. Lilith was once a moon-faced girl with cheeks that did smile, but now don't. They are drawn and newly burned, pocked and cruel. She's seen hunger, and there's a coldness to her that I don't recognize. I'm frightened. I feel like Mickey when he looked at me. I was a cold, quiet thing he didn't understand. So was she. It's like looking at a fish from an underground river. Lilith's words come slow and linger in the air.
I come from the Jackal.
Call him by his real name, if you will, I suggest.
I did not come to speak with you, she says without a hint of emotion. I came for Cassius.
Her horse is small and lean, its hooves nicked. Extra clothing makes her saddle fat. I see no weapons other than a crossbow. They're a mountain house. More clothing for colder climates, smaller horses for harder rides. Unless it is deception. I make her show me her ring. It's a mourning tree, the cypress of Pluto. Its roots leak into the ground. Two of her fingers are gone. Burns seal the stumps, so they have iron weapons. Her hair clatters when she moves. I don't know why. She looks me over quietly, as though judging me against her master. Apparently I am lacking.
Cassius Albalona, my master desires the Reaper.
She goes on before either of us can say a word. We're too surprised.
Alive, dead, we don't care. In return for him, you will receive 50 of these for your army.
She tosses him 2 iron blades.
You can tell your master he should come face me himself, I say.
I make no words with dead boys, Lilith says to the air. My master has put the mark on the Reaper. Before winter comes, he will be dead. By one hand or another.
You can go slag yourself, Cassius replies. She tosses Cassius a small pouch.
To help you make your decision.
She does not speak again. Quinn raises her eyebrows and shrugs her confusion as she leads Lilith away. I look at the small pouch Cassius holds in his hands. Paranoia overwhelms me. What is inside? Open it, I say.
Nah, she's mad as a violet, that one.
Cassius laughs. Don't need her to infect us.
Yet he tucks the pouch in his boot. I want to scream at him to open it, but I smile as though there is nothing to worry about.
Something was wrong in her. Didn't seem human, I say casually. Looked like one of our starved wolves.
Cassius gives the iron blade a swing. The air shrieks.
At least we got these two. Now I can teach you how to duel properly. These'll go straight through Duro armor. Dangerous things, really.
The jackal knows about me. The thought makes me shiver. Roke's words are worse.
Did you notice how her hair clattered?
He asks. His face is white.
Her braids were laced with teeth.
We must prepare to meet the jackal's army. That means consolidating my forces and eliminating lingering threats. I need the remainder of House Diana in the Great Woods destroyed, and I need House Ceres. I sent Cassius with the howlers and a dozen horsemen to destroy the remainder of Diana. The rest of my army and slaves I take back to our castle to prepare for the jackal. I've not yet devised a plan, but I'll be ready for him if he rears his head.
After sleeping in dead horses, our howlers will probably stink them out of the great woods.
Cassius laughs as he spurs his horse away from the main column.
I'll sick goblin on them and be back before you're even in bed.
Severo does not want to go without me. He doesn't understand why Cassius needs his help to mop up the remainders of Diana. I tell him the truth. Cassius has a pouch in his boot, the one Lilith gave him. I need you to steal it. His eyes do not judge, not even now.
There are times when I wonder what I did to earn such loyalty. Then others, when I try not to press my luck by looking the gift horse in the mouth.
That night, as Cassius lays siege to Diana in the Great Woods, the rest of my army feasts behind our tall highland walls in Mars Castle. The keep is clean, and the square merry. Even the slaves are given June's time-roasted goat and venison, drizzled with olive oil. I watch over it all. The slaves look down out of embarrassment as I pass. Even Pax. The howling wolf on his forehead has crushed his pride. Tactus, alone, meets my eyes. His dark, honey skin is like Quinn's, but his eyes remind me of a pit viper's. He winks at me. After my victory over Pax, my high drafts seem to have finally fully embraced my leadership, even Antonia. It reminds me of how I was treated on the streets after Mickey carved me. I am the gold here. I am the power.
It's the first time I felt this way since sentencing Titus to death.
Soon, Fitchner will come down and give me the Primus hand from the stone, and all will be well.
Roke, Quinn, Leah, and now Pollux eat with me. Even Vixus and Cassandra, who normally sit in commune with Antonia, have come to give their congratulations on the victory. They laugh and clap me on the shoulder.
Scipio, Antonia's plaything, is counting the many slaves. Antonia herself does not venture my way, but she does tilt her golden head in approval. Miracles do happen.
I am Primus. I have 5 golden bars. Soon Fitchner will come to bestow the honorifics. In the morning, House Ceres will fall. They have less than 1/3 our number. With their grain to feed my army and their fortress to use as a base of operations, I will have the power of 4 houses. We will sweep away whatever is left in the north, and then descend upon the south before the first snow even falls. Then I will face the jackal.
Roke comes to stand beside me as we watch the feast.
I've been thinking of kissing Leah, he says suddenly to me.
I see her laughing with several mid-drafts near one of the fires. She's cut her hair short, and she spares us a glance, coquettishly ducking her head when Roke holds her gaze. He blushes, too, and looks away. I thought you didn't like her. She follows you about like a puppy. I laugh. Well, yes. At first she didn't intrigue me because I thought she was attaching herself to me as one would to a life raft to stop from sinking. But she's grown. I look over at him and laugh. I can't stop laughing. We look like blonde wolves. We're leaner than when the Institute began. Dirtier. Our hair is long. We have scars. Me more than most. I'm likely too dependent on red meat. One of my molars is split. But I laugh. I laugh till my molar can't take it anymore. I'd forgotten that we are people. Kids who have crushes. Well, don't waste the first kiss, I say. That's my only advice. I tell him to take her somewhere special. Take her somewhere here that means something to him. Or them. I took Io to my drill. Lauren and Barlow made jokes about that. The thing was off, and in a ventilated tunnel, so we didn't have to wear fry suit lids, just had to watch for pit vipers. Still, she sweated from excitement, hair clinging to her face, to the nape of her neck. She gripped my wrist so hard and only let go when she knew she had me. When I kissed her. I grin and slap Roke on the butt for luck. Uncle Nero says it's tradition. He used the flat of a sling blade on me. I think he was lying. I dream of Io in the night. I do not often sleep without dreaming of her. The castle's high tower bunk beds are empty. Roke, Leah, Cassius, Severo, the Howlers are gone. Except for Quinn, all my friends are off. I am Primus, yet I feel so alone. The fire crackles. Cold autumn wind comes in. It moans like a wind from the abandoned mine tunnels and makes me think of my wife. Io. I miss her warmth in the bed beside me. I miss her neck. I miss kissing her soft skin, smelling her hair, tasting her mouth as she whispered how she loved me. Then I hear feet, and she fades. Leah bursts through the dormitory door. She talks frantically. I can barely understand her. I stand, towering over her, and put a hand on her shoulder to calm her. It's impossible. Manic eyes look at me from behind her short-cut hair. Roke, she wails. Roke has fallen into a crevice. His legs are broken. I can't reach him. I follow her so fast I don't even bring my cloak or sling blade. The castle is asleep except for the guards. We fly through the gate, forgetting the horses. I shout for one of the guards to come help me. I don't watch to see if she does. Leah runs ahead, guiding me down into the glen, and then up over the northern hills to the Highland Gulch, where we made our first fires as a tribe. The mists are thick, the night is dark, and I realize how stupid I am. It's a trap. I stop following Leah. I don't tell her. I don't know if they'll come from behind, so I dive to my belly and shuffle to a gully so that I am lost in the mist. I put ferns over myself. I hear them now. The sound of swords, of feet and stunpikes. Curses. How many are there? Leah calls my name frantically. She is not alone now. She's led me to them. I hear crooked vixus. I smell Cassandra's flowers. She's always rubbing them on her skin to cover her body odor. Their voices call to each other in the mist. They know I discovered their trap. How can I get back to my army? I dare not move. How many are there? They look for me. If I run, Would I make it? Or would I end up on the end of a sword? I have two knives in my boots. That is it. I pull them out.
Arepa!
Antonia calls from the mist. She's somewhere above me.
Fearless leader! Arepa! There's no need to hide, darling. We're not mad at you ordering us about like you're our king. We're not indignant enough to bury knives in your eyes. Not at all. Darling!
They call taunts, playing on my vanity. I've never had much, but they can't understand that. A boot steps near my head. Green eyes peer through the darkness. I think they see me. They don't. Night optics. Someone gave them night optics. I hear Vixus and Cassandra. Antonia grows frustrated.
Reaper, if you do not come out to play, there shall be consequences.
She sighs.
What consequences, you ask? Why, I will cut little Leah's throat to the bone.
I hear a yelp as Leah's hair is seized.
Rogue's lover.
I don't come out. God damn it. I don't come out. My life is more than my own. It is Io's, my family's. I cannot throw it away. Not for my pride, not for Leah, not to avoid the pain of losing another friend. Do they have Roke too? My jaw aches. I clench my teeth. My molar screams. Antonia won't do it. She can't.
Last chance, my darling. No.
There's a meaty sound, followed by a gurgle and a thump as a body crumples to the ground.
Pity?
I loose a silent scream as I see the medbot whine through the night's mist. For all the power in my hands, in my body, I'm powerless to stop this. Them. I do not move until the early morning, when I am sure they are gone. The medbots did not take Leah's body away. The proctors left it so I would know she died, so I could not hold on to hope that somehow she lived. The bastards. Her body is fragile in death, like a little bird that has fallen from the nest. I build a cairn over her. The stones are high, but they will not keep the wolves away. I do not find Rogue's body, so I do not know what has become of him. Is my friend dead? I feel a ghost as I pick my way along the highlands, circling around the castle to avoid Antonia's henchmen. I put myself on the path Cassius will take in returning from the Great Woods, hiding beneath shrubs to stay from sight. It is midday when he returns, at the head of a small column of horse and slaves. He kicks his horse forward to greet me as I come from the shrubs.
Brother! He calls. I brought you a gift.
He hops off and gives me a hug, before pulling out one of Diana's tapestries and wrapping it about my shoulders. He pulls back from me.
You're as pale as a ghost. What's the matter?
He picks a leaf out of my hair. Maybe that's when he sees the sadness in my eyes. Several rides up behind him as I tell them what has happened.
The bitch! Cassius murmurs.
Severo is silent.
Poor Leah! Poor Leah! She was a sweetheart.
Do you think Rogue is dead? I don't know, I say. I just don't know.
Gory damn!
Cassius shakes his head.
A proctor must have given Antonia night optics.
Severo speculates.
Or the jackal bribed her. It fits. Who cares about that?
Cassius cries, flinging out his arm.
Roke may be wounded or dead out there, man. Don't you register?
He grips the back of my neck and brings my forehead to his.
We'll find him, Darrow. We'll find our brother.
I nod, feeling a numbness spreading in my chest. Antonia never returned to our castle. Neither did her henchmen, Vixus and Cassandra. They failed to kill me and must have fled. But to where? Quinn flings her hands up in the air and shouts at us as we come through the gate.
I didn't know where the gory blazes anyone was. The slaves outnumbered us 4-1 till you got back. But it's fine. It's fine.
She grips Cassius's hand when we tell her what's happened. The tears well in her eyes for Leah, but she refuses to believe Roke is dead. She keeps shaking her head.
We can use the slaves to search for Roke. Probably wounded and hiding out there. That's it. That has to be it.
We do not find him. The entire army searches. Not a sign.
We convene in our war room around the long table.
He's probably dead at the bottom of a ditch,
Severo says that night. I almost hit him. But he's right. The jackal did this, I mutter.
Tough shit, he says.
Come again?
Doesn't matter if he did it, is what Severo means. We can't do anything against the jackal now. Even if he tried to take your life, we're not in a position to hurt him,
Quinn declares.
Let's deal with our neighbors first.
Stupid,
Severo mutters.
What a surprise. It looks like Goblin disagrees,
Cassius snaps.
Speak up if you've got something in your craw, pygmy.
Don't talk down to me,
Severo sneers.
Cassius chuckles.
Don't piss on my foot because you only come to my knees.
I'm every bit your equal.
The look on Severo's face is such that I lean forward suddenly, frightened a knife will suddenly appear in Cassius's eye.
My equal? At what? Birth?
Cassius grins.
Oh, wait, I meant height, looks, intelligence, money. Shall I stop?
Quinn kicks his chair hard with her foot.
What the hell is your problem?
She snaps at him.
Never mind, just shut the hell up.
Severo looks at the ground. I have this sudden urge to put a hand on his shoulder.
What were you saying, Severo?
Quinn asks.
Nothing.
Come on.
He said nothing. Cassius chuckles.
Cassius.
My voice alone shuts him up.
Severo, please.
Severo sighs and looks up at me, cheeks flushed with anger.
Just thought we should not pick our butts here while the jackal does whatever he wants.
He shrugs.
Send me south, and let me cause trouble.
Trouble?
Cassius asks.
What are you going to do, kill the jackal?
Yes.
Severo looks quietly at Cassius.
I'll put a dagger in his throat, and then carve a hole till I see his spine.
The tension is enough to make me uneasy.
You can't be serious,
Quinn says, quietly.
He's serious.
Cassius's forehead creases.
And he's wrong. We're not monsters. Not you and I, at least, Darrow. Bellona Praetus aren't knives in the night. We have 500 years of honour to guard.
Piss and lies.
Severo dismisses him with a wave.
It's in the breeding.
Cassius elevates his nose ever so slightly. Severo's mouth twists cruelly.
You're a pixie if you buy all that. Think your papa cut his way up to Imperator by being honourable? Call it chivalry, goblin,
Cassius sneers.
It wouldn't be right trying to murder someone in cold blood, particularly not at a school.
I agree with Cassius,
I say, breaking my silence.
Small wonder.
Severo stands to leave very suddenly. I ask him where he is going.
You obviously don't need me. Have all the advice you can handle.
Severo.
I'm gonna search the ditches again. Bet Bellona wouldn't do that. Wouldn't get his precious knees dirty.
He bows mockingly to Cassius.
before leaving.
Quinn, Cassius, and I remain in the war room until Cassius yawns something about catching a bit of REM before the dawn hits in 6 hours.
Quinn and I are left alone.
Her hair has been cut short and jagged, though the bangs hang just over her narrow eyes. She slouches boyishly in her chair and picks at her nails.
"What are you thinking on?"
she asks me.
"Roke. And Leah." I hear the gurgle in my mind. With it echoes all the sounds of death. Eo's pop. Julian's silence as he twitched in his own blood. I am the Reaper, and death is my shadow.
"Is that all?" she asks.
"I think we should grab some sleep," I reply.
She says nothing as she watches me leave.
Chapter 33. Apologies.
Cassius wakes me in the middle of the night.
"Severo found Roke," he says. "He's a mess. Come."
"Where?"
"North. They can't move him."
We gallop away from the castle under the light of twin moons. An early winter snow fills the air with dancing flurries. Sucking sounds come from the mud as we head north toward the North Metas. No sounds but the gurgling of the water and the wind in the trees. Wiping sleep from my eyes, I look over to Cassius. He has our two iron swords. And suddenly a pit opens in my stomach as I realize what's what. He doesn't know where Roke is. But he knows something else. He knows what I have done. This is a trap I cannot ride away from. I guess there are those times in life. It's like staring at the ground as you fall from a height. Seeing the end coming doesn't mean you can dodge it, fix it, stop it. We ride for 20 more minutes.
"It was no surprise,"
Cassius says suddenly.
"What's that?"
"I've known for over a year that Julian was meant to die."
The snow falls silently as we move together through the mud. The hot horse moves between my legs. Step by step, through the mud.
"He made a mess of his test. He was never the brightest, not in the way they wanted. Though he was kind and bright with emotions, he could sense sadness or anger a click away. But empathy is a low-color thing."
I say nothing.
"There are feuds that do not change, Darrow. Cats and dogs. Ice and fire. Augustus and Bologna. My family and the Arch-Governor's."
Cassius's eyes are fixed ahead, even as his horse stumbles and his breath makes fog in the air.
"But despite what it portended, Julian was excited when he received the acceptance letter stamped with the Arch-Governor's personal seal. Didn't seem right to me, or my other brothers. Never thought Julian would be the sort to make it in. I loved him, all my brothers and cousins did. But you met him."
"Oh, you've met him."
"He wasn't the keenest of mind, but he wasn't the dullest. He wouldn't have been the bottom 1%.
No need to cull him from the stock. But he had the name Bologna. A name which our enemy loathes. And so our enemy used bureaucracy, used his title, his duly appointed powers, to murder a kind boy. To turn down an invitation to the Institute is an illegal act. He was so delighted. And we, my mother and father and brothers and sisters and cousins and loved ones, were so hopeful for him. He trained so hard."
His voice takes a mocking tone.
"But in the end, Julian was fed to the wolves. Or should I say, wolf?"
He pulls his horse to a halt, eyes burning into me.
How did you find out?
I ask, staring ahead over the dark water. Flakes of snow disappear into the black surface. The mountains are but shadowed mounds in the distance. The river gurgles. I do not dismount.
That you did Augustus's dirty work?
He laughs scornfully.
I trusted you, Darrow. So I did not need to see what the jackal sent me. But when Severo tried to steal it from me, as I slept in the great woods, I knew something was the matter.
He notices my reaction.
What? You thought you consorted with dullards?
Sometimes. Yes.
Well, I watched it tonight.
A hollow. With Roke and Leah, I'd forgotten about the package. Better that I had. Better that I had trusted him, and not sent Severo to steal it. Maybe he would have discarded it then. Maybe things would be different.
Watched what? I ask.
A hollow that shows you killing Julian, brother.
The jackal got a hollow, I snort.
His proctor gave it to him then.
Guess that means the game is rigged. Suppose it doesn't matter to you that the jackal is the arch-governor's son, and that he's manipulating you into getting rid of me.
He flinches.
Didn't know the jackal was his son, eh?
I reckon you'd recognize him if you saw him, and that's why he sent Lilith.
I wouldn't recognize him. I've never met the bastard spawn.
He kept them hidden from us before the Institute. And my family kept me from him after...
His voice fades, and his eyes sink into a distant memory.
We can beat him together, Cassius. We needn't be divided. Because you killed my brother, he spits. There is no we, you feckless quim. Get off your gory damn horse.
I dismount, and Cassius throws me one of the iron swords.
I stand facing my friend in the mud. No one to watch but the crows and the moons and the proctors. My slingblade is on the saddle. It, at least, has a curve. But it's useless against an iron blade. Cassius is going to kill me.
I didn't have a choice, I tell him.
I hope you know that. You will rot in hell, you manipulative son of a bitch, he cries. You allowed me to call you brother. So what would you have had me do? Should I have let Julian kill me in the passage? Would you?
That freezes him.
It's how you killed him.
He's quiet for a moment.
We come as princes, and this school is supposed to teach us to become beasts. But you came a beast.
I laugh bitterly.
And what were you when you ripped apart Titus? I was not like you, Cassius shouts. I let you kill him, Cassius, so the house wouldn't remember that a dozen boys took a good long piss on your face, so don't treat me as though I'm some monster.
You are, he sneers.
Oh, shut your goddamned gob, and let's just cut to it, hypocrite.
The duel is not long. I have been practicing with him for months. He has played at duels his entire life. The blades echo across the moving river. Snow falls. Mud sticks and slushes. We pant. Breath billows. My arms rattle as the blades clang and scrape. I'm faster than him, more fluid. Almost get his thigh, but he knows the mathematics of this game. With a little flick of his wrists to move my sword sideways, he steps in and drives his iron blade through my armor into my belly. It should cauterize instantly and destroy the nerves, leaving me damaged, though alive.
but he has the iron charge off. So I only feel a horrible tightness as alien metal slides into my body and warmth gushes out. I forget to breathe. Then I gasp. My body shivers, hugs the sword. I smell Cassius's neck. He's close, close as when he used to cup my head and call me brother. His hair is oily. Dignity leaves me and I begin to whimper like a dog. Throbbing pain blossoms, begins like a pressure, a fullness of metal in my stomach, becomes an aching horror. I shudder for breaths, gulp at them, can't breathe. It's like a black hole in my gut. I fall back moaning. There is pain, that is one thing. This is different. It is terror and fear. My body knows this is how life ends. Then the sword is gone, and the misery begins. Cassius leaves me bleeding and snivelling in the mud. Everything that I am goes away, and I am a slave to my body. I cry. I become a child again. I curl around the wound. Oh, God, it is horrible. I don't understand the pain. It consumes me. I am no man, I'm a child. Let me die faster. I sink in the cold, cold mud. I shiver and weep, I can't help it. My body does things, it betrays me. The metal went through my guts. My blood goes out. With it go Dancer's hopes, my father's sacrifice, Io's dream. I can hardly think of them. The mud is dark and cold. This hurts so much. Io. I miss her. I miss home. What was her second gift? I never found out. Her sister never told me. Now I know pain. Nothing is worth this. Nothing. Let me be a slave again. Let me see Io. Let me die. Just not this. Part 4. Reaper. The elder women of Lycos say that when a man is bitten by a pit viper, all the poison must be drawn out of the bite, for the poison is wicked. When I was bitten, Uncle Nero left some in, on purpose. Chapter 34. The Northwoods. There is agony and claustrophobia. I am sick and wounded. The pain is in dreams. It is in darkness, in the pit of my stomach. I wake up and scream into a gentle hand. I glimpse someone. Io? I whisper her name and reach up. My muddy hand smears her face. Her angel's face. She's come to take me to the Vale. Her hair has turned golden. I always thought she could be golden. Her colours are golden wings. No red sigil on her hands. It took death. I sweat, despite the rains and snows that come. Something shelters me. I shiver, clutch my scarlet headband. Lost the Himanthus. When was that again? Mud in my hair. Io washes it away. Tenderly strokes my brow. I love her.
Something inside me bleeds. I hear Io speak to herself.
To someone.
I haven't long. Have I time at all? Am I in the veil? There is mist. There is sky and a great tree. Fire. Smoke.
I shiver and sweat. Rot in hell, Cassius. I was your friend. I might have killed your brother, but I had no choice. You did. You arrogant slag.
I hate him.
I hate Augustus.
I see them hanging Io together. They mock me. They laugh at me. I hate Antonia. I hate Fitchner. I hate Titus. I hate.
I am burning and mad and sweating. I hate the jackal, the proctors.
I hate myself for all I've done. All I've done.
For what?
To win a game.
To win a game for someone who will never know about anything I do. Io is dead. It isn't as if she will ever be coming back to see all I have done for her.
Dead.
Then I wake. The pain is there in my gut. It goes through me. But I no longer sweat. The fever is gone and the angry red lines of infection have faded. I'm in a cave's mouth. There's a small fire and a sleeping girl just inches away. Furs cover her. She breathes softly the smoky air. Her hair is tousled and gold. She isn't Io. Mustang. I cry silently. I want Io. Why can't I have her? Why can't I will her back to life? I want Io. I don't want this girl beside me. It aches worse than the wound. I can never fix what happened to Io. I couldn't even run my army. I couldn't win. I couldn't beat Cassius, not to mention the jackal. I was the best hell diver. I'm nothing here.
The world is too big and cold. I am too small. The world has forgotten Io. It has already forgotten her sacrifice. There's nothing left.
I sleep again. When I wake, Mustang sits by the fire. She knows I'm awake, but lets me pretend otherwise. I lie there with my eyes closed, listening to her hum. It's a song I know. It's a song I hear in my dreams. The echo of my love's death. The song sung by the one they call Persephone. Hummed by an Oread. An echo of Io's dream. I weep. If ever I've felt there was a god, it is now, as I listen to the mournful chords. My wife is dead, but something of hers lingers still. I speak to Mustang the next morning.
Where did you hear that song?
I ask her without sitting up. From the HC, she says, blushing. A little girl sang it. It's soothing.
It's sad.
Most things are.
It has been 4 weeks, Mustang tells me. Cassius is Primus. Winter has come. Ceres is no longer under siege. Jupiter's soldiers sometimes come into the woods. There are sounds of battle between the two superpowers of the north, Jupiter and Mars. Jupiter to the west, Mars to the east. Since the river froze, they've been able to cross and raid one another. Our buzzards have risen out of their winter gulches. Hungry wolves howl at night. Crows flock from the south.
But Mustang really knows very little, and I grow impatient with her. Keeping you breathing was a little distracting, she reminds me. Her standard lies underneath a blanket near my feet. She's the last of House Minerva, yet unbridled. And she didn't enslave me.
Slaves are stupid, she says.
And you're already a gimp. Why make you stupid too? It is days before I'm able to walk. I wonder where those nifty medbots are now, tending someone the proctors like, no doubt. I won Primus, and they never gave it to me. Now I know why the Jackal will win. They are getting rid of his competition. Mustang stalks with me through the woods during the next weeks. I move stiffly through the thick snow, but my strength is returning. She credits medicine she found lying conspicuously under a bush. A friendly proctor placed it there. We pause when we spot the deer. I draw the bow, but I can't get the string to my ear. My wound aches. Mustang watches me. I try again. Pain deep inside. I let the arrow fly. I miss. We eat leftover rabbit that night. It tastes funny, and gives me cramps. I always have cramps now. It's the water, too. We have nothing to boil it in. No iodine. Just snow and a little creek to drink from. Sometimes we can't have fire. You should have killed Cassius, or sent him away, Mustang tells me. Would have thought you nobler than that, I say.
I like to win. Family trade. And sometimes cheating is in the rule book.
She smiles. You get a merit bar every time you recapture your standard, so I arranged for it to be lost to House Diana by someone else several times. Then rode out to capture it. Got to Primus in a week. Tricky. Yet your army liked you, I say. Everyone likes me. Now eat your damn rabbit. You're skinny as a razor. The winter grows colder. We live in the deep north woods, far north of Ceres, northwest of my former highlands. I have not yet seen a soldier of Mars. I don't know what I would do if I did.
I've hidden from everyone but you, Mustang says. It keeps me alive and ticking.
What's your plan? I ask. She laughs at herself. To be alive and ticking. You're better at it than I am.
How do you mean?
No one in your house would have betrayed you.
Because I didn't rule like you, she says. You have to remember, people don't like being told what to do. You can treat your friends like servants, and they'll love you. But you tell them they're servants, and they'll kill you. Anyway, you put too much stock in hierarchy and fear.
Me?
Who else? I could spot it a mile away. All you cared about was your mission, whatever it is. You're like a driven arrow with a very depressing shadow. First time I met you, I knew you'd cut my throat to get whatever it is you want.
She waits for a moment.
What is it that you want, by the way?
To win, I say. Oh, please. You're not that simple. You think you know me? The coals crackle in our small fire.
I know you cry in your sleep for a girl named Io. Sister? Or a girl you loved?
It's a very off-color name.
Like yours.
I'm a far planet Hayseed. Didn't they tell you?
They wouldn't tell me anything. I don't get out much. Strict father.
She waves a hand.
Anyway, doesn't matter. All that matters is that no one trusts you because it's obvious you care more about your goal than you do about them.
And you're something different.
Oh, very much so, Sir Reaper. I like people more than you do. You are the wolf that howls and bites. I am the mustang that nuzzles the hand. People know they can work with me. With you? Hell, kill or be killed.
She's right.
When I had a tribe, I did it right. I made every boy and girl love me. Made them earn their keep. I taught them how to kill a goat, as if I knew how. I gave them fire, as if I had created the matches. I shared a secret with them, that we had food, and Titus didn't. They saw me as their father. I remember it in their eyes.